Okay. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Now, Mike, this is Phil Hendry Show. Mike Schaefer, my producer, brought you on as an expert on the PG&E electrical power crisis in California. Of course, it's spilling over.
That's correct.
Into the rest of the country. You're a football coach?
Currently, I coach at the high school level, and also I teach some social studies, yes.
All right, that's which is a little bit unusual to have you on, but...
Well, it's not really, Phil, because the power crisis in California, as a football coach, I have a unique view, I guess, toward motivating people and toward getting people to understand goals and to achieve goals.
All right, well, the Pacific Gas and Electric... The company that had a hard time delivering power to people in California over the last few months, a company that's filing for bankruptcy, is handing out bonuses and is handing out pay raises to some of its employees.
That is correct.
Can you talk to me a little bit about why Pacific Gas and Electric, a company that's going bankrupt and a company behind, at least partially, the power outages and energy crisis in this state, is handing out bonuses and pay raises?
Well, because they are very proud of the people that that work for them. I think it's actually good news, Phil.
How is this good news?
Well, I think it's great news that PG&E has great confidence in the people that work for them. They're giving out bonuses that are well deserved, and they're giving out pay raises that are well deserved. Pacific Gas and Electric is a company that I think is doing well. They're filing for bankruptcy because of the mismanagement of the state of California. And of course, the people of California did not do a very good job of conserving energy. But the people at PG&E, the workers, rank and file, did a great job.
And how did they do a great job? I mean...
You understand something, Phil, that they did what they were asked to do over the summer months and over these last few months in the wintertime. They did what they had to do. These people were on time with every rolling blackout. They were on time with every power shutoff. They did not at any time were they on any second or third level when it came to blacking those homes out. They were asked to do a job, and they did the job very well.
So the job that they're getting bonused on, the job that they're getting a pay raise on, is that they blacked out homes effectively.
That is correct, and I think they can be very proud of that. But the thing you need to understand, the homes that got blacked out over the last few months were homes of people who were not conserving energy as they might. So this, I don't know if you were blacked out.
I didn't have a blackout. Mike, you're under DWP, and there's a few people here who live in L.A., and so they didn't have that. But I didn't have that myself.
Well, that's probably, Phil, because you guys were conserving your energy.
So the people that got blacked out, the people that experienced rolling blackouts this for the past few months, were people that were wasting energy.
That is correct.
Oh.
So you can see that the reason why PG&E is giving bonuses out and is giving out pay raises to its employees is because they did exactly what they should have done, and also to motivate them insofar as continuing to do a great job. They're going to reorganize the company over bankruptcy, but these people have done a great job in ensuring that when they had to black out these homes and when they had to draw energy away from people, they did it very well. They were Johnny on the spot. They hit those buttons. They pulled those switches or whatever they do. I don't know how you do it. I guess you take a big switch. I think of those cartoon switches,
The big handle that just goes down.
Yeah, right. I don't know if that's what they did, but somebody somewhere was able to pull that switch and do the job.
Let's get back to what you were talking about. You said that the people of California, the governor of the state, he didn't know how to purchase power properly, and the people of California did not know how to conserve energy.
I think that goes without saying. They had an opportunity to conserve energy. They didn't do it, so these rolling blackouts were necessitated. But when it came time to get those going, the people at PG&E did it. And the other thing is that they're very motivated people now, that they have a bonus and a pay raise can motivate somebody. And
A bonus and a pay raise can work two ways. It can motivate somebody, it can make somebody lazier, Somebody gets a pay raise, somebody gets a bonus, and you say that they're doing the job. It's difficult for me as a person who's, trying to get electricity in my house, how to see how these guys did a good job when we're getting rolling blackouts.
And they did an outstanding job, and to motivate people is, I think, a primary concern of any employer. Look, if you don't motivate people, especially at the level of the utility, then you've got bills that start turning up late. payments are not registered properly. No, you've got to make these bonus payments. These are the utility workers for the state of California. They did a great job blacking out those houses. It was unfortunate, but they did a good job turning the power off for those homes, and basically did a good job turning the power off and making sure a lot of homes were not going to waste energy anymore. And I think when the rolling blackouts came out, Phil, the people that were wasting energy, they got their power shut off. So don't blame the worker if he gets a little something extra in his paycheck. He's working hard.
And I don't know how they could determine whether these people who got their homes blacked out were using extra juice.
Well, they have ways, believe me. They look on a chart. I'm not an electrical worker, but they can look up on a chart and they can see who's...
Well, like what? Like they see an extra piece of electricity going somewhere?
Yeah, a home that's using its air conditioning too much. You can pinpoint it and say, black that son of, you know, excuse my language, but black that SOB out. Black him out now. And they'll pull the switch.
So if I'm sitting there and it may be a hot summer day this summer and I'm using too much electricity...
They can tell if somebody leaves their computer on all day. They can tell if someone's overusing their electricity, and they will pull the switch. So watch what you're doing. Most of you people in the state of California, I would say, just watch it. Because these people have been bonused, they've gotten pay raises, and they're certainly going to be, I think, a little extra motivated.
Okay, hold on for a minute. Mr. Dozier, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the Phil Henry Show number. PG&E is bonusing and giving raises to various employees, even though they're filing for bankruptcy. But we're told here by this high school football coach, with no, I don't mean any offense, sir. It's just that I don't understand how you are an expert on electrical matters.
Phil, again, I'm a football coach, which is a position that I take very seriously. We motivate. And we get people to accomplish goals in football. It's no different from the utility business. So I think I am eminently qualified to talk about this.
All right, you're qualified to talk about it. You're saying that the guys at PG&E are getting bonused on their jobs and they're getting raises because they did a great job blacking out the homes.
That was their job, yeah. Black out these houses, make sure these people don't use too much electricity, and... throw the switch if you have to, because I can tell you something right now. If you don't give these people pay raises after they did such a great job, if you don't bonus these people after they did such a great job, you're going to find a lot of these, a lot of the things that they do are going to start to get lost, get screwed up a little bit.
And it almost sounds to me like it's kind of a threat. You know, if I don't give you a bonus, you're going to mismanage my bill.
I wouldn't call it that.
You wouldn't call it that, but does it sound familiar? If I don't give you a raise, then suddenly my payment gets lost.
I don't see how you could expect somebody to do a great job.
No. But I'm seriously, if I don't make a payment, if I don't give you a raise, my payment gets lost.
Again, how do you expect them to do a good job unless you give them some incentive?
How about making sure that my payment is recorded and then I'll give you a bonus?
I think they would say to you, we'd love to get your payment recorded, but you are sloppy with your electrical use, a little bit sloppy with it, running that computer all night, keeping the air conditioner on for a long time. I don't know who you people think you are, but we're PG&E workers, and we've got to do a job. And
again, you're just sort of surmising this.
This is what I imagine they say, yeah. Not being a utility worker, I don't know. I'm a football coach, but again, I do know something about motivating people. And the big switch that they pull or whatever they do.
The big switch that they pull.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. 1-800-449-8686. You know, Mike, when I want an expert, and I know that I gave you short notice, do you think you could do something more than just call a high school athletic department when we're talking about a PG&E blackout and what the bonus situation, the raise situation? This guy is saying basically the workers at PG&E deserve that bonus, they deserve that pay raise because they blacked us out real good. They did their job. I had no idea that they could look at a chart or a graph or whatever, see who's using too much juice, and just cut the power to their house. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Well, all right, you motivate people, but you're a football coach. What do you know about utilities?
what I know is that the people at PG&E deserve these raises and they deserve these bonuses because what was the job that they had to do over the last few months?
Well, I think the job what they had to do is to keep juice going to all of these houses. And
well, that was not precisely their job. The job was to, if they had to have rolling blackouts, to have rolling blackouts. Okay,
and so they blacked out people real good and they got bonused on that?
Yes, well, Mr. Andrew, whatever the job is, you've got to do the job. And if somebody says to you, provide electricity to that home, you do it. If someone says, take electricity away, you do it.
So they got bonused on the fact that they knocked a lot of people off the grid so they wouldn't have any juice.
They got yes, they did a good job. And the people who got knocked off the grid had nobody but themselves to blame because if they weren't using so much electricity, they wouldn't have got knocked off in the first place. So they did a great job, and these people have lost their electricity. You know, go cry to somebody else.
Well, all right. It's just the getting bonuses and raises from a company that's going bankrupt. 1-800-449-8686. Let's talk to Dave on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil, what's up?
Yes, sir.
Man, it's ludicrous to be giving bonuses to people that are the company's failing. That's like my teacher fails.
No,
they
did the job. It's not unusual, and they did it. I don't know. The company is failing because the people of the state of California didn't know how to use electricity.
Now, wait a minute. Rolling blackouts, they took whole sections out of time.
Right.
They don't take individual houses out.
Well, most of those sections. Most of those sections.
They take out whole neighborhoods.
Yes, and most of those people were using too much electricity.
How could you say that? What if one guy on the street's using too much and the rest of them aren't? They took the whole street out.
Well, what it basically does, if you're using too much electricity, that raises the average for that section, that part of the grid.
That's ludicrous. They took out whole areas at a time.
So, in other words, let me ask you this. In other words, if I am not using a lot of electricity, but the guy next door to me is using too much, I get punished?
Yeah, there's an old phrase called guilty by association.
Oh, give me a break.
All right. Try it sometime. Try using your computer too much. Guy next door is going to suffer.
The rolling blackouts
and
were done
guilty
so
by
tripping power out. That's all it was. It was just a safety measure.
The rolling
they
blackout was
people with them.
It was a conservation measure. Yes, sir. Based upon who
it
are you going to?
It was a conservation measure, but it wasn't done by
computer?
Individual households.
Do you use a computer, sir?
Yes, I do. I work on them all day.
All right. Do you leave it on all night?
Yes, I do.
All right. You're at risk of being blacked out.
Well, I live in Missouri, so we
may well, all right.
Keep the power on.
That may
here.
Be, but if you ever have a problem in Missouri, you're the first guy they're going to cut the cable to.
Well, first of all,
because
computer
if you're sitting
running
on a computer,
by itself doesn't use hardly any electricity at all.
Well,
it
that may be.
It uses more power to turn it on and turn it off than it
well,
does
what are you
to
doing,
leave it on.
What are you doing all night on a computer anyway? Is that some kind of a video game, or are you working? Or
well,
see
my
what I'm saying?
Set up to receive faxes and other things at night, but that's beside the point.
All right,
point.
Well, you're not sitting there playing games.
You know, it's beside the point. If I'm willing to pay for electricity, it's up to the state and the utilities to provide it.
Do you have a nightlight that you leave on all night or anything like that?
Yes, I do, yeah.
All right. What's that all about?
It runs about a half a watt a day.
What do you got that for?
So I don't stumble over stuff when I'm walking at night,
you
know? Oh,
come on. When we were kids, we were afraid of the dark. Why do you have that now?
I'm not afraid of the dark, sir.
Well,
that's
then why do you have a stupid nightlight? That
look at this. Nightlight helps you so you can find your way to the can at night.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it costs me a lot more to go to the hospital because I broke
so you're
my
not
leg
one of,
at night.
In other words,
you're
not one of these guys that it needs to leave the door open with a light on in the hall.
No, that ain't the case.
Okay.
You know, you're giving people reward for not providing service. I mean,
all
that's
right.
Like if the street department doesn't fix the potholes, we're going to give them a raise next week.
I'm saying take the Snoopy nightlight, throw it in the trash, and let's be adults. About what we're doing. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, how about the power companies doing the job and providing the power that they're paid to do?
They're also paid to black people out if they have to.
And they're getting bonused based upon the fact that they were able to throw the big switch, as you call it.
I don't know what they do.
There's no big switch. That's all done on computer terminals. But that's starting to get like some third world country where we're rolling blackouts in the United States. I mean, the basic thing we can expect from our government is to provide power and water. If they fail at that, then they should be voted out of office.
Wait a second. Wait. So you're telling me you don't have to leave the door open at night to see the light in the hallway?
No, I don't.
All right.
Well, what does that mean?
I just wondered if he was afraid of the dark or if he really needed a nightlight.
No, I'm not afraid of the dark. That's ridiculous.
You don't need a nightlight?
No, I don't need a nightlight except when I don't want to trip over my dog going to the bathroom.
All right. Well, I would suggest that we lose the nightlights. We can all do our part, sir, is all I'm saying.
Hey, I agree that they should have done a better job conserving power, but they rolled out huge areas of the people at the same time, whether they were using power or not, and that was just to keep from tripping the main substation.
All right, Dave, I need to ask you a question.
Punishing anybody.
I need to ask you a question, and I don't mean any offense by this, but are you tucked in at night, or do you put yourself to bed?
What a funny man.
I wouldn't expect much more from a gym coach discussing electric issues.
Boy, no kidding. And this is my producer gets me some guy who's, throwing a medicine ball around.
Look, I asked a very good question to you guys. All right, Mr. Andrew, you get tucked in?
No, I don't get tucked in.
And what does that got to do with power blackouts in California?
Absolutely. And what has that got to do with people getting bonused and people getting raises from a company that is going to go bankrupt?
How many times do I have to...
Well, not to mention, that company is getting subsidized by tax dollars right now because they're so bankrupt, nobody will take their credit anymore.
They needed
the
subsidy.
So the taxpayers are taking it in both ends.
Well, they needed the tax subsidy in order to pay these bonuses because they are significant.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, how about, when you do a good job, you get a bonus. When you do a lousy job, you don't get a bonus.
Let me ask you a question,
Dave. That's kind of the American
way, you know? Dave, let me ask you a question. If you're going to divert power to a certain area, don't you have to push a button or throw a switch?
Yeah, you
all right, okay. And if you're going to, and if you're going to get rid of electricity, you've got to push, say, another button or throw another switch. So it doesn't matter whether the juice is coming or going, you still have to do the job.
They're getting paid by the hour to be there and
exactly.
do their job. They
and what do you mean?
For cutting people's power off.
All right, thank you, Rob. Or Dave, is it, right? Dave, thank you very much. And what do you mean, do I get tucked in at night?
You guys are the ones with the nightlights. I didn't, do you have one?
Yes, I've got a nightlight.
Oh, is the boogeyman going to come and get you?
No, the boogeyman isn't going to come and get me. I got a nightlight, and just like the guy said, it's a half a watt. Robert, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, I think this guy is just out of tune.
It's a freaking half a watt, man. It's not going to...
Yeah, PG&E, they provide a service. You know, and if they can't provide the service, they should all be fired and not get pay raises and bonuses.
I'd like to ask you, Robert, what that service is, though. It's to provide electricity or to divert the juice away from some guy that's got to put a nightlight on so the boogeyman doesn't get it.
I don't care if he wants to run his washing machine all night long. They're there in business to provide a service. I'm in the trucking business. I provide a service. If I can't provide my service, I just don't get paid.
Can I ask
and
you a question, Robert?
That's the bottom line.
Now, let me give you a classic example, Phil, of what I'm talking about when I talk about wasting energy. Robert, do you let your refrigerator run all night?
Don't have no choice about it if I want something cold.
Okay, that's a complete waste of electricity.
Do you let yours run all night?
Of course not.
Do you have spoiled milk in the morning?
I put it in a cooler.
Oh, excuse me, okay. Mr. Energetic.
Robert, if you want to waste the people's electricity, you're the first guy who is going to get his juice cut.
Listen,
what do you mean you let the refrigerator run all night? The refrigerator's got to run all night.
No, it does not. You two guys run it all night because you want to waste electricity.
That has nothing to do with it. The bottom line is they're a service provider. They supply electricity and gas to the consumer. If they can't provide that service... They don't need to be passing out bonuses and raises because the money should be spent that they're given for bonuses and raises should be spent on buying more power and more gas.
All right, so the point I made to you about how they were able to black people out real good, you don't get a bonus on that?
No.
Why not?
I only get a bonus when I truck freight. If I don't have any claims during the year, I get a bonus. How I get a bonus.
Do you have a
nightlight? Because I'm accident-free
and
claim-free.
Do you have a nightlight?
No.
You do not have a nightlight.
No, I don't
need
a nightlight. The boogeyman ain't coming to get me.
Okay, well, there you go.
What are you talking about? A freaking nightlight? A nightlight is, like the guy said, a half a watt.
Every single bit of excess juice, whether you let your refrigerator run all night,
whether you use a nightlight.
Let me ask you this, Robert. Do you have clocks, electrically powered clocks?
No, most of our clocks are battery operated.
There you go. Good for you. Okay.
But the bottom line is this, okay?
Don't ever use a clock. You have to plug in.
California deregulated all the power industries out there, and that's what killed the services. And until they
get the regulation back in it. Do you keep your television plugged in all night?
No. Yeah, it stays plugged in.
No, you should pull the plug because it's drawing juice, even though it's not turned on.
Yeah, right. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Vernon Dozier about the PG&E bonusing its employees, even though it's going bankrupt, and he's a football coach. Thank you, Mike, for that. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And, boy, that electricity thing, when you want to get that thing straightened out, just call a football coach. What are you trying to do to me? Anyway, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I got my thumb. I don't know whether we ought to say that it's Monday or Tuesday or what am I supposed to do here, okay? Because we're on tape on so many radio stations. We're live some places, tape someplace else. Guy called me up at 5 o'clock the night. I'd like to talk to the guy about the thing that was a show that we did 3 days ago. So whatever. Okay, it's Monday. If you don't want me to say anything about it, you know, edit it out of your tape when you replay it back for your friends and neighbors. And spent the weekend enjoying myself with my wife at a... Get a load of this, though. Seriously, we got the presidential suite at this hotel again. Remember when I told you that about the Shutters in Santa Monica? Same thing happened again. I don't know what it is about my face that everybody wants to lay the presidential suite on me for the same rate that I'm paying for the room near the garbage can. But we took it. And then we went out to the Derby at Santa Anita. This is a horse race. And I am a big horse race. No, I'm not a big horse racing fan. Why would I lie and say that I am? I used to be. There was a time in my life when I went to the track a lot. But I grew up in Arcadia. And this is the city where Santa Anita Racetrack is located. So the track has always been a part of my life. Whether I liked it or not, whether I wanted to be there or not, the big Santa Anita Racetrack sat right smack dab in the middle of the town that I grew up in and has been there for years, since before I was born, and I'm sure will be there long after I'm gone. I learned how to drive in the Santa Anita parking lot. I used to sneak into the track under the fence up behind the the training track when I was a kid. Used to go in there when I was like just eight, barely 18, barely able to gamble, throw away whatever money I had. It was great. And we went out for the Santa Anita Derby on Saturday and were with a group of friends and had a really good time, except the track now doesn't really draw the way it used to. There aren't as many people going out to the races as there used to be. Horse racing is... by and large, it's not really a spectator sport. It's a gambler's sport. Nobody goes to the track to just watch the horses go around the track. So it's not like you're going to watch the Dodgers or you're going to watch a football game or a hockey game. You're going, you know, nobody follows a horse from track to track. Who do you like this year? Boy, I love that attaboy Binky, man. I'm going to be going all over to follow him and see how well he does. And when he wins, I'm going to get drunk and fall down in the street and set fire to a car. You'll notice that when a guy's horse comes in, the great thing about horse racing is that, like, unlike, for instance, basketball or hockey, when your team wins, you immediately go out and set fire to someone's house. In horse racing, like the Derby, if affirmed or whoever to help, the horse that won on Saturday, point given, if this horse wins, nobody runs outside and sets fire to a street. They go to the window and they get their money is what they do. And you don't see anybody. In fact, you never, ever see people walking into sports bars wearing the silks of their favorite jockey. You see a guy walking around with Portland Trailblazer gear, or you see somebody walking around with Laker gear or whatever. You never see anybody walking around with Willie Shoemaker on the back of his jersey. It's not happening. So people go to the track to bet. And you're saying, well, that's not a newsflash, Phil. Well, no, of course it is a newsflash, but here's the problem. When we got off-track betting in California, we started getting Indian gaming. Indian gaming's great. Everybody loves Indian gaming for the most part because they say, well, the Native Americans, I don't want to say Indian, Native Americans, they deserve it. They were screwed over six ways to sunset by our government. The white man stole from them, turned them into dipsomaniacs, ripped apart their communities, ripped apart their tradition. Why shouldn't they be able to have a casino to get some of that money back from the white man? It's one of those jokes that we know is being played on us as white people, I should say, or black people, or anybody who's non-native, and we don't mind. We know we go into the Indian casino, we get it stuck to us big time, and we're cool with it because, well, the Indians are taking the money. But the fact of the matter is, it's destroying horse racing. And it's Santa Anita, where I used to go and see 50, 60, 70,000 people on Big Cap Day, and they're doing a $20, $25 million, $30 million handle. It's not there anymore. And on Saturday, they had like 31,000 people. I didn't see what the handle was, but it was, I'm sure it was modest. And it's one of the biggest races on the West Coast. It's the Santa Anita Derby is a precursor to something called, I'm sure you've heard of it, the Kentucky Derby. And what is the Kentucky Derby? These are the top three-year-old horses in the world racing. So there we were, and there I was, and, you know, going down to the window and betting my stupid $2. They got a 50 million different ways you can lose your money now at the track, though. But, again, it's something where a $2 better being the backbone of it, he's going off and he's going to sit in front of a slot machine and just punch a button. Why does he need to go to the track and spend $2 on a horsey race when he can go to the slot machine, sit there like a freaking bump on a log, and just punch a button as he fed in $20 worth of quarters? It's the same thing. Some guy's scanning. In fact, why would anybody want to go to the races, take a look at the racing form, scan down all the hieroglyphics, you know, 6 furlongs, had a great work, he faded, you know, he comes from behind, it's a mile and 16th, but the last race he won is a 6 furlong. Hell, I don't know. Well, you don't. All you have to do is look at the jockey silks and bet your favorite color if you want. It's the same freaking thing. So nobody wants to go through that crap, so they go to Indian gaming, they go to Las Vegas, they go to Atlantic City, and they throw their money into a slot machine, which is about the most mindless, dumb, stupid, imbecilic, and unchallenging way of gambling. But who cares so long as you got a shot at hitting that big $5 million jackpot? Because that's all that it's about. So it was kind of sad to see, and I like Santa Anita, and I like going there. And do you think that by me saying this, I'm going to be getting, for instance, maybe given a little consideration, like a lifetime membership of the Turf Club? Of course not. But I'm not saying it for that, although it wouldn't be certainly turned down. You think by me saying this, maybe they'd throw a box my way or maybe some free something? I don't know. You know, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't ask for any consideration from the fine people at Santa Anita, like maybe a box on the finish line. But we had a really nice table there in the restaurant, and, you know, threw about, I don't know how much money I lost, because I don't know anything about horse racing. But there I was at this beautiful track. And every year, I went to school across the street from Santa Anita. Like I said, I learned to drive in the parking lot there. I used to watch everybody pouring in 6 months out of the year, and then pouring out of there when the end of the season came. Then they go down to Hollywood Park, they go down to Del Mar. And, you know, walking down the street and, you know, riding my bike home, almost getting run over by the people coming in from Inglewood or wherever the hell they were coming in from. It was fun. So I did my part. I went out there and I dropped about a couple of $100. Now I feel better about keeping the place floating for another 5 minutes. But it was good to see all of our old chums. And one of the things about Santa Anita is you can go and you can bet any amount of money that you want on any race. I mean, you could walk up there with $10,000, or any horse track, I guess you can do that. But standing in line and watching all these high rollers walking up there, you know, and laying down the cash, and then I'm walking up with my cheesy little bet, and I'm embarrassed to the point where I'm, like, muffling it, because I'm walking up to the Parimutuel window, and some of them got the machines, but I walk to the Parimutuel, I go, yeah, I'd like to bet $5 on number 8, because I don't, you know, it's a suck horse. Some of these guys are, yeah, I want a baseball 1, 2, and 3, box 3 and 5. I'll take a win ticket on number 5 for $100, $200. And these guys are yelling it out and feeling great. And I walk up there sheepishly going, $5 to win on the 8 horse. What? $5 to win on the 8. What is the guy? What's the teller going to stand up and go, hey, the guy's betting 5 on the 8. Ha ha. This guy is betting $5. Yeah, I'd like to bet $5 to win. Look at this guy. He's got $5 in that freaky 8 horse band, 30 to 1. 2 horses I wanted. They both went off at 22 to 1. I didn't get on them because I was embarrassed to go up to the window and say, I'd like $5 on the number 6 horse. I can't hear you. What? $5. Kawhi, $5 on the 6. 22 to 1 shot? And sure enough, they won. So I'm betting like my cheesy 5 on the favorite. Boy, that's really gutsy, sir, that big 2-to-5 shot. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'll take $10 on the whatever, whoever the favorite is. Yeah, the big, oh, that's great. Even money, yeah. Hey, you win a whole dime. Hi, I'm desperate. $5 on the 7, please. You got it. Anyway, that was our weekend. Oh, and my hangnail, this thing that I had. Look at my thumb, Craig. Is that disgusting? I've never had a hangnail like this. It's when the nail just grows right into the skin, right? This thing turned into leprosy. I couldn't write. I couldn't move my thumb. It was swollen. I had to do major surgery on myself this weekend. sterilizing and knife, you know. I'm drinking whiskey. I'm pouring it on the wound. I'm laying out in a field with, you know, vultures circling. And I'm, like, doing surgery on my hangnail. All right, 1-800, or is it ingrown nail, excuse me. What is a hangnail? But any other name is a hangnail. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. As you can tell, I'm probably still drunk from Saturday, too. It's Phil Hendry's show. Phil Hendry show here at 1-800-449-8686. So I was, and I was telling the guys that, you know, when I lived in Florida, I lived in Miami, they have, you know, horse racing down there. It's the same thing, man. The Hialeah and Gulfstream. It probably just doesn't get the crowds they used to get. And then they got Hialeah. Try going down and betting on that. You know, there's no real skill that I can see at betting Hialeah. Now, I didn't live at the Hialeah Frontons, which is what they're called. It's a Fronton, which is kind of like the Budokan. It's not an arena. It's not a stadium. It's a fronton, which you fry and then you have with mustard sauce. Anyway, so I'm there and the guys are doing their thing, and you ought to hear people at Hialeah games or whatever they're called. It's not go baby go, you know, go attaboy Binky or go affirmative. Come on two, because it's a guy with a jersey and it says two. And then another guy is number six, and it's two versus six. Who do you want to bet on? You can bet on two, you can bet on six. And I heard this lady, big fat woman, sitting in front of me. Big fat lady comes waddling down, you know, and sits down in front of me. And, man, she looked like she lived at this place. And she's got her bag, and in it she's got her big Diet Coke bottle and a big bag of Cheetos. And she sits down. Come on, two. That's right, two. Please, two. Begging two. Take two out tonight. Guy sitting behind me, some white trash with his wife, no offense intended. And all I heard her say was, no, I could hear him say this. Come on, Papa needs a new pair of shoes. And she would say, and baby needs milk. And this is what they were chanting as they were trying to win this Hialeah crap they were watching. It was, and I don't mean to call it crap. It's really a very interesting sport. And if you go down to the Miami Hialeah Fronton and look at all the old Cuban guys going ape, it's actually kind of interesting. And all the guys making their cestas, blah, blah, blah. It's really cool. But if you're down there with the folks with the, come on, Papa needs a new pair of shoes and baby needs milk, I almost turned around and belted both of them. Come on, Papa needs a new pair of shoes and baby needs milk. Oh, come on. By the end of the thing, I was like a raging alcoholic. I was just drinking straight out of the hip flask because I couldn't stand listening to these people anymore. You'd think I'd get up and move, but I was too lazy to do that. But yeah, that's the whole thing, man. Now, these jockeys is another thing. As we continue with this rap about horse racing and how it's gone to the tank, these guys are the bravest athletes in the world. I don't give a crap who you want to... I don't even care if you're naming race car drivers. The bravest guys that I've ever seen in sport are jockeys. Now, I want you to consider for just a moment, because if you were watching the Santa Anita Derby, even on TV on Saturday, although I don't think it happened during the Derby, it's one of the races that followed, the horses were going nuts in the gate. One guy got thrown off. Then they had to get off and remount. You want to get on this freaking thing that weighs 1,200 pounds. It's an animal. And you're now going to run this thing at, I don't know what, 50 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour down a track, and you weigh 112 pounds. Good luck. And if you fall, if something falls in front of you, you're about a dead man. What are the odds of a guy surviving an automobile wreck in a race, in an auto race? Well, you know, nowadays they got the breakaway chassis and everything. That's probably a pretty good percentage. It gets better and better with each year. Ain't no way a jockey ever going to save his rear end. Little tiny guys, and they get on these horses, and they go around the track really fast, and people just sort of look at them. Well, they look like midgets. Whatever. Hey, these guys, pound for pound, are the best athletes you're ever going to see. Got more guts than any of them. Football, hockey, I don't care what. And what do they get for the trouble? What do they get for the trouble? They're millionaires. That's what they get for the trouble. Okay, well, I'm sorry I brought it up. What do they get for their trouble? I'll tell you what they get for their trouble. Wives that are about 5'11", gorgeous, with Mercedes and $3,000 Italian suits. That's what they get for their trouble. And big houses, man, like 8,000 square foot houses. These little guys, 112 pounds. Boy, what a horrible life they've got. Hey, by the way, I didn't see Sopranos last night. I don't know anybody. I don't want anybody to tell me what happened on Sopranos last night. I'm going to watch the rerun. I wished and prayed and hoped. Mike told me a little bit. He told me what was not on the show. You told me that Ralphie was not dealt with, right? And that's cool, because when Ralphie is dealt with, I want to see it. But we found this website, and they had a little chart that said, who would you most like to see get whacked of the Sopranos cast? Now, Ralphie wasn't on this list. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he's new to the show or something. But the person that they had, number one, was Janice, Tony's sister. Of all the people they voted for, she won 38% of the vote. They want to see her get shot and killed because she's a fat, disgusting person. Then the number two guy was the guy that I would vote for because Ralphie ain't on the list, and that's Noah, that boyfriend of Meadows, the part Jewish, part black kid whose father's the rich attorney and took out the restraining order on her roommate because she wouldn't leave him alone, and he got a C-minus and boo-hoo. People said they'd like to see him die. And he busted up with Meadow last week, so maybe it'll happen. I don't know. But when I think of the guy that needs to get whacked on that show, it's got to be Ralphie all the way. That guy, if he lasts, I don't know how they could keep that guy on the show after that episode last week, after that whole thing outside the back of the bar. I don't know how that guy can, the actor is tremendous actor, Joe Pantaleone, or Pantaleano. Okay, thank you, Pantaleano. Anyway, what did I say? I think that guy ought to just kill himself. Even though he's just an actor playing the character, he ought to just check out. That's how ugly that whole thing was last week. I mean, geez. And so I don't want to know what happened, but when's the rerun? Tonight or tomorrow night? It's like 8 o'clock on Tuesday or something, 11 o'clock. Everybody I talk to, you watch Sopranos? Oh, no, I don't got HBO. I don't have that cable. What do you got, man? Do you guys watch? That's the best TV going right now. I don't understand people would not have that. I don't understand what you wouldn't want to watch HBO, but you'll flip on every Thursday night for that freaking Friends. Fine, great show. The stuff they're laying out on HBO is 50 times better. And I know I'm not wrong. Maybe people's expectations have dropped. I don't know what it is. Or they're just cheap. Or they don't want to get a pay channel just to watch one show. All right, well, HBO's got they got that Sopranos and they got boxing. That's worth it, those two things. The rest of it's crap. And then every now and again they got a good movie. I don't have anybody sit there and tell me about freaking Survivor, man, when nobody's watching Sopranos, when the people that are watching Sopranos are few and far between, and the guys that give me the excuse, well, I can't watch it because I don't have cable. Why? I don't really want to spend the $30 for just one show. Ah, come on. You spend $30 a freaking month on your computer access. What are you doing with that? You're emailing people meaningless jokes. Every time I see the jokes coming down the line, I know it's my father-in-law. Here he is, checking in again. Another 60 jokes today. Did you ever get this email? Here's one I thought you'd get a chuckle out of. And then here comes the joke. And he CC'd 8 million people. And now they all have your email address. Here's another one I thought you'd get a chuckle out of. A man walks into a bar and says, my dog can talk. And a Phil Henry Show.